sure that's turned off. Well, good morning, family. Thank y'all for putting up with us another Sunday, and it's good to see some youngsters back here. That's the future of the church. For the ones that don't know me, my name is David Woodruff, and this is my wife in the red, and that's my sister Sheila. And she came from what we call Maddox Bay, which is called Lawrenceville, Holly Grove, Arkansas. If y'all don't know where that's at, just find her and ask her. She'll tell you. If you will, turn over to Luke 15. We're going to be in Luke 15. My printer decided it didn't want to print yesterday, so I put it on my phone just in case the laptop wouldn't work here, but I'm going to preach from my laptop and my Bible too. So pray for me because I've never done this laptop stuff up here behind a pulpit. So y'all give me some grace and mercy today. All right, Luke 15. When you get it, please stand, and I'll let y'all sit down very shortly. Let's stand for the Word of God this morning. All right, for the rest of y'all that's still got the Baptist air conditioner turning, we'll get ready. Luke 15, chapter, and starting in verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and all the sinners drew near to him and to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eats with him." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays his hands on it. And he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost.' And I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons that need no repentance." I'll let y'all sit down and I'll finish reading. I just wanted y'all to honor God a little bit. Verse 8 says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the price, the peace, which I have lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Verse 11. "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, forgive me of the portions of good that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and they wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him out to the fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave to him." Y'all remember that. No one gave to him. Verse 17. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father's house, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion on him, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Verse 21. "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and his sandals on his feet, and bring here the fattest calf and let's kill it, and let us eat and be merry.'" Man, we're going to be merry today. We're going to eat today, ain't we? "For this my son was dead, and this is alive again. He was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. And now his older son was with the in the fields, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things? What is this meant? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safely and sound, the father had killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, many years have I served you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots and killed the fattest calf for him, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. Your brother was dead and is alive now, and he was lost and he is found. Good morning, dear Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you because one time we was all prodigal sons, and some of us still may be prodigal sons and daughters of you, Lord. Even though we're in a church house, Lord, that don't mean we're saved, Lord. That don't mean we have a relationship with you. So, Lord, through your word and through your power, your Holy Spirit today, Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, and make sure we're right with you. Make sure we have a sanctified salvation today, Lord, because today is the day of salvation, Lord. Hide me, David Woodruff, behind the cross, and, Lord, forgive me of my sins as I humbly preach your word to your people, Lord, because it's you that's preaching, because I'm just reading about what you wrote to us, Lord. So we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all know the title of this parable? Most people call it the prodigal son, right? I actually call it the broken-hearted father. Because how many of us here has broke the father's heart? Every one of us. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, I got a friend, I was telling him what I was going to study about this week. And I didn't tell him I was even coming here to preach. He said, ain't that called the Friend of Sinners sermon? I said, well, I guess you could call it that too. He said, well, that's the way I heard it when I received it. I said, well, cool. I wrote that down. But, you know, the young man left the pig pen and he came to the father just as he was. And I told y'all, when I came to West Helena, I came to West Helena seeking Christ just the way I was. For the ones of y'all wasn't here when I gave that short testimony, I was a biker. I was in sin. I was living an unruly life, an evil life. And I came to Jesus just like I was. And guess what? He met me just where I was at. So today, he can meet you right there where you're at, too. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. You'll hear that a few times. That's Luke 19:10. You know, today, maybe you've came here to eat with the family. Today, you might have came to eat with fellowship friends. Today, you're actually eating an all-you-can-eat buffet if you'll pick this word up and reread it. Not just as I preach it to you, but this is all-you-can-eat buffet. Take it home and dine on it some more, because that's how we grow. We got to feed ourselves spiritually. It ain't just about this morning here at church. It's about our sanctification time when we're alone. Point one, Jesus was criticized for being a friend of sinners by the religious folks. How many of us has acted religious when we've had a homeless person walk up on us? Have y'all had a homeless person walk up on you and say, hey man, can I get a couple bucks, 50 cents? You know, don't be religious and say, oh, I don't want you touching me. What you ought to do is be prepared. I never leave home without pockets of gospels. Guess what? Every time I've been here, your church has gave me gospel tracts back. So I commend y'all because many churches don't even believe in this, and that's a sad story. So if you don't have gospel tracts, see this lady right here. Yeah, I'm going to point you out. But I see gospel tracts in the back, and if you don't have none, come ask me. I got a pocket full of them. You know, we're to share the gospel. That's what it tells us in Matthew 28. It's to go into all nations, teaching, preaching, and baptizing. And if you're not prepared to do that, that's because you're not at home studying this word. Luke 15:1 says, then they drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, to hear him. But when the religious crowd and the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. Basically what I'm telling you is if you don't have a sinner in your life, whether at work or in your private life or your public life, you're not a friend of Jesus. Because we just sang a song that says, in the footprints of Jesus or the footsteps of Jesus. We got to go outside this church and we got to walk just like Jesus did. And how do we do that? When we see a man or a woman in sin, we just go and love on them. And you ain't got to go to preach to them at first. Because if you go to preach to them, it's going to turn them off. Because we got a sister that used to preach to me and preach to her, I'm sure. And I hated to see my sister coming. Now I love to see her coming. So it's a different thing. But if we'll go in love, that'll open greater doors because it tells us in James, love covers a multitude of sins. So, see if I can get this thing to come down. We're going to look at three pictures of lost souls today. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Point one, man is weak and lost like a sheep. You know, we're going to hear a parable, and we read a parable about sheep. To what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does he not go and find it? How many of y'all saw the picture of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders? Do y'all know actually what that is? That's actually not the shepherd going to find that one lost sheep. That's actually a picture of the shepherd going to find that one lost sheep that keeps going and getting lost. And I've got friends that are from Israel, and he told me this 10 years ago, and we was talking about that picture. Y'all know what that picture actually represents? That's every time we sin and we walk away from Christ, and Christ comes and meets us where we're at, that picture of that lamb is actually, he's broke that lamb's leg. That's what that picture is. Y'all don't know that because we're not around the land of people that raise lambs and sheep. But the shepherd will literally break a leg on a lamb and break it in a certain point to where when he takes it home, he's training that lamb not to run off again. And sometimes that's what sin does to us. Sometimes when we sin, the body, takes on sickness, cancers, diseases. You know, there's all kind of sickness in this world. And every time we sin against God, if it's a sin outside of marriage, that's a sin that you're sinning against your own body and you get sick from it. So a picture of this as us is being described as sheep. Have you ever seen a trained sheep in a circus anywhere doing tricks? You've seen trained dogs. You've seen even trained cats. You've seen trained horses. But you've never seen a trained sheep. You know why? Because it's dumb. It's defenseless. And this is really Jesus telling us we're dumb and we're foolish. I'm not calling y'all dumb and foolish. The word is. So, what are you doing in your life today to walk like Jesus? Because if not, you're going to be just like that lamb. Jesus is going to have to come and find you. When he keeps coming and finding us outside this church or even in this church. I just had a friend, we went to his church last Sunday. And they hired a musician to come in and play music for them. Within 3 weeks, he was cheating with the wife of one of the people in the church. And it's all on video. He says the man gets up out of his chair and the guy sitting up front that was doing the musician. And just say that man back there is the one that his wife was cheating on him. He just walks up front and just starts pile driving, fighting this guy right in the church. Don't get that lost to where you bring Satan into your church, because that's what he did. But see, we're to be the friend of sinners. They asked the guy not to play music for him, but they said, don't leave the church because you need Jesus. Most churches would have run that guy out of town, but they didn't. They shared the gospel with him. They shared the love of Christ on him, and they said, don't leave, but you cannot play music here no more. And the two that lost their relationship, now they're battling Satan because the man truly loves his wife. And he is willing to sacrifice what happened to save his marriage. That's true love. Because God gave us marriage and Satan tries to divide it. And none of this is actually in my sermon, but we need a shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us sheep have gone astray, and we've all turned one on our own, on his own way. That's the problem with humanity still today. We want it our way. We want to be our own God. It's hard. You know, when you have a burden that God's put on my heart, and if you don't have a burden for sin as some sinner, you need to ask God to put a burden on your heart for somebody in your family. Because every one of us in our families have somebody that's living in sin. The shepherd comes to look for the sheep. 15:5 says, when he had found it, he lay it on his shoulder, rejoicing. I've already done told you what that means of the picture in Israel. Here in America, they just show a picture of Jesus toting a sheep, and we just all think that's all nice and dandy. We think that's us. He's come and found us. But it's actually us when we keep leaving the church. We keep leaving our relationship with Christ. That's grace, church. That sheep was lost. That sheep is helpless, and we're helpless without a shepherd. That's why it tells us in Psalms 23, who's the shepherd? He leads us beside still waters, does he not? You know, when a sheep gets around water, it gets scared to death. I don't know if y'all seen the TV commercial that this guy's got a herd of sheep and he's trying to lead it across this little spring of water. And the sheep will not go. So he runs over and grabs that sheep and drags it and makes that first sheep go. Once that first sheep goes across that water, the rest will follow. And that's what happens to us in life. Once we give our life to Christ, and the other non-sheep, the goats is what Jesus calls them, once the goat sees a sheep crossing over, some of them will follow. Some of them may take years to follow. And that's why he says he'll take them green pastures and let us lay down beside that still water, because he's going to calm everything in our life once we give our life to Christ. So if you're lost today, maybe you need the peace of that still water. Read Psalms 23. The whole thing, not just the first part of it. Read Psalms 23. That'll bring so much peace to you. If that don't revive your soul, I don't know what will. And you got to love when these computers don't want to work. That's what you get for using this thing. And I said you're going to hear this many times. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Does anybody remember the scripture text to that one? Don't be quiet now. Don't everybody talk at one time. That's Luke 19:10. Y'all remember that. Jesus is still seeking the lost sheep. If you're lost today, he's looking for you. If you're still wondering, we lived in an RV camper for 2 years, me and my wife. Y'all got an RV camper right here. Most of these people that are living over here, they got a slogan that says, all that wonder are not lost. If you're wandering from the Lord, you're lost. Plain and simple. And I went over and shared some gospel this morning. Did any of them come to church? Nope. Why? Maybe because y'all ain't been over sharing the gospel. I'm not going to convict you. I'm going to let God convict you. Man is lost in darkness. We done saw what Jesus said about us being sheep. Let's see what he says about being in the dark sins of life. Jesus tells us about a woman that lost one of the 10 pieces of silver in Luke 15:8. Either what woman have 10 pieces of silver? If she lose one piece, she lights a candle, she sweeps the house, she searches diligently until she finds it. And when she finds it, she says, I found the lost coin. She found it in the darkness, in the dirt, and in the disgrace of her life. Do y'all know what them 10 pieces of silver represents back in Israel's days? They didn't wear wedding bands like we do now. Have you ever saw the women really dressed up nice that had this thing around her head, a veil that had 10 coins on it? That was actually the representation of being complete, because in a man and a woman, when they become married, that becomes a union. So that's a picture of them being complete. And if she loses one of them and she goes out into public, that's a disgrace on her husband. That means she might have been dishonest and he decided to keep her instead of stone her and kill her. Or she might have been disobedient and not cooking his meals or something right, because women was not treated like they are now. So when she lost that little coin, that silver piece, that's no different than, I think I stuck it in my pocket. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's out there in the car. No, here it is. That's no different than losing this $1 million bill. That's fake, though. But that's no different than losing a dollar. A dollar has value when it's in your possession, right? But when you lose a dollar or even a penny, when it's not in your possession, it's lost. And that's what happens to us when we're not in the possession of Jesus. We're not servants of Christ. We're lost. So just like this money, I can wad this money up, or I can pull real money out of my pocket and wad it up and throw it on the ground. Does it still have value? Yes, it does. And that's what happens to us. When sin comes and beats us up, we still have value in the eyes of Jesus. And he'll take and clean us up if we'll let him. But, you know, the woman, she didn't want to disgrace her husband, so she searched diligently until she found it. And when she found it, she said, rejoice with me in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I want y'all to hear that. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When you gave your life to Christ here on this earth, heaven had a rejoicing party. That is the best party in the world right there. We're going to have a kind of fellowship party this evening, so or this afternoon after lunch. But now we have done Saul. We're lost like sheep. We're lost like a worthless coin. Let's see what it's like on point three. Man is wretched and rebellious child. It's called the lost son. We're called the prodigal children sometimes. In Luke 15:11 through 12, it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that it falleth to me. In other words, he's saying, Father, I don't care about you. I want what belongs to me. So it says, the father went and divided his wealth between the two sons. The older son got two-thirds, and the younger son got less. So if you're the older son here, you get more of a dealing of money, possessions, but in God's eyes, you get a bigger dealing of responsibility. So here's the younger son. He says, Father, I don't want nothing that belongs to you. I just want what's mine, and I'm going to leave. And it says a few days later, he got all that his dad gave him, and he left and went to a far country. We'll just say my sister's the prodigal, because I didn't pick on her. She's my sister. We'll say my sister's the prodigal. She left our hometown to come to West Helena today. That might be how far this prodigal son actually might have went, but it says a far country. Well, that ain't far in today's time. I can be to my sister's house in 28 minutes. But back then, they walked everywhere they went and rode camels and donkeys. So a far land might have not been that far away from where he was originally raised. And like I was born in Texas, but I was raised in Holly Grove. And where did I come to seek Christ? West Helena, Arkansas. I've never told you this, but when I first started seeking Christ, my first church service was with some of the people that lives here in West Helena, and was here the first time I was here. They knew exactly what church I went to. So now we're looking at a lost son. He says, Father, give me what belongs to me. But underneath that request was something much deeper. He says, I want your blessings, but I don't want you. How many of us has prayed, Lord, bless me today, bless me with a new car. And then when you got your new car, you forgot all about the Lord. What about, Lord, bless me with a new house. Oh, we got a new house last year. We've been in it a year and 4 months maybe. Have we forgot about the Lord? Sometimes we do. We sometimes, most of the times, forget the praise. I heard some praises in here this morning. Thank y'all for praising and worshiping and testifying of the Lord. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, bless our business. Lord, bless our finances. If he's blessing your finances, are you giving your tithes? Because I'm a true believer in giving your tithes. If y'all let me keep coming back, I'll tell you a testimony of what God did for me and Karen. She was off work seven years, basically, and I was off work 8 months. Didn't have a dime coming in. We gave more away than I could have made in 8 months. That's the blessings of God. Why? Because we was faithful and honest to the Lord, and He honored us. Sometimes we say, Lord, protect us. I say that every day because I'm a diesel mechanic. I'm working around young men that are not trained and skilled in what I do. And I have saw men die right in front of me out in the oil field. So, Lord, protect me. Does my guys know who my God is? Yes, they do. Why? Because I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm going to testify out loud, and I'm going to make sure they know who my God is. Y'all youngsters, listen to me. If your people in your school and your neighborhood and your fellowships don't know you're a Christian, the Bible says if you're ashamed of me, God's going to be ashamed of you in heaven one day. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, family. That's what we're here for. We're actually in a training class. This ain't just preaching. I said this is an all-you-can-eat buffet. I don't see anybody taking notes, really, but I am. I'm recording what I'm preaching to myself right now. So that's how we learn to grow, is just because we as preachers come up here and preach to you. The Bible says there's more false prophets in churches now than it is true preachers. And that's why there's so many churches without preachers now, because they was not called. I'm not called to be a pastor of a church, I don't think, but I am called to be a pastor of the flock, because I'm like King David. I used to hate my name until I got saved and I realized there was only one King David in the Bible. And what was he? He was a lowly shepherd. And what did King David do for the Lord? God himself said, that man has a heart after mine. And that's hard to believe, because David's just like this David. We was vile sinners, both of us. So today, are you like a lost sheep? Are you like a lost coin in the darkness? Or are you like a lost son that has went on his own way wandering? It says he went into a far country. He spent all he had. But why he was spending all he had, when I had this kind of money, I had that kind of friends. When I had hot rods and rat rods and race cars, I had friends. When I had motorcycles, dirt bikes and stuff, I had friends. When I had bicycles, kids, when I had skateboards, that's the kind of friends I had. We flock to one another on what we see that we like in one another. And that's why we should be able to point the sin out in each one's life, even as a kid. Because we're all born with love in our heart, but we're born with a rebellious spirit because of Adam and Eve's sin. And when we see somebody that is in sin, I remember my first cigarette. My mama sent me to, I think it was Wilson's grocery store. We had a little on the account up there. She said, go buy me a pack of Winston cigarettes. All right, I get to go to the store. I wasn't even thinking about cigarettes. I get up there, I'm playing the little video games that's in the store, kids. Listen to me. Another guy come up, handed me a cigarette in the store, younger than I was. I just stuck it in my pocket. I'm thinking, well, I'll give that to Mama. I go up to the counter. I say, Mr. Wilson, I need a pack of cigarettes for Mama, because Mama had already done called and told him what I was coming to get. And the youngster talked me into getting a second pack. He said, man, I'll give you this big brick and marble. We played marbles. He said, I'll give you this big brick and marble and something else if you'll get me a pack of cigarettes. I said, sure. When I asked Mr. Wilson for that pack of cigarettes, he gave them to me. But before I got home, my mom already knew it. That's how easy sin catches us, because the Bible tells us your sin will find you out. And it will find you out when you're not expecting it, because I sure was not expecting that when I got home. You know what my mama made me do? She made me smoke cigarettes one right after the other. And I never smoked a cigarette in my life. I was green at the gills. I don't know if she ever told you that or not, but man, that was bad on me. But my sin found me out. And that's what sin will do to us too. And especially when we're living in a sinful life. But let's see, he wasted everything. He had friends that disappeared. His money disappeared. His pleasure disappeared. And that's what happens is we start seeking pleasure instead of God's obedience. And when we get out of the will of God, we start seeking self-pleasure. We start seeking me, I, myself, any deity but God. We completely forget about God. I see, I picked on somebody last time and I had them spell the three-letter word God. One of you young men in this far corner, spell the three-letter word God. Come on, stand up and spell the three-letter word God. See there, y'all shy, but I'll spell it for you. It's capital G-O-D. It's not G-O-D. Make sure when you say the name of God or you spell it, you reference Him at the highest level. And that's why we should do that for God in all of our life. Is make sure when we come to Him, we don't come to our little God with our big problems and say, Lord, I left the house. I left the house. I wanted my dad's money. I took my dad's money. Now I'm broke. It says he goes and hires himself to a non-Jewish man that is feeding pigs. What happens to a Jewish man when he goes to the pigs? That's a sin in God's eyes because he tells us don't even touch the pork still today. Sure, he told Peter when he saw the four corners of the sheet come down, he says, you know, what I've made, blessed it, and it is clean. He's actually talking about all of us lost souls, I believe. But if you eat pork, that's between you and God. Me and Karen still eats it every now and then, but we try to take it out of our diet, and we did for 10 years. But what happens is when this young man comes out of the city because he's broke, he has no friends, he has nobody, and I said, y'all pay attention to this. He said, no one gave to him. How many homeless folks have y'all passed in the last 7 days? Did y'all stop and give them any gospel? I ain't going to say give them no money, because if you give them money, I was a drug dealer at one time, and when you give them money, they're going to go trade it. Don't do that. If you're going to give them something, give them your time and your love, go sit down and have a meal with them. Love on them. Because when you give them love, James says love covers a multitude of sins, and that's the best thing we can do. But it says he went and hired himself out to this pig farm. He is so hungry, he's eating the pods and the slop. Have y'all ever saw, I know most of the older folks have slopped pigs themselves, have we not? I remember Uncle Pete and them had pigs when I first moved to Arkansas. We had to feed them things. They was nasty. But pods are big pieces of fruit back in them days. He was cracking them open, eating that. And it says, when he came to himself, the word for that in Hebrew is metaneo. Metaneo means he needed to have a change of mind. He says, hey, my father's servants have better than I have. He says, I will return home. That's the second part of repentance. Repentance in Hebrew is metaneo, a change of mind. Then teshuva means to return to the Lord. Did you know there's a 12 to a 16 inch disconnect that'll send you to hell right here? Because if your head don't get right with your heart when you repent, however it is from your brain to your heart can send you to somewhere you're not belong. So this young man says, I'll go back to my father and I'll tell him. Now he's already practicing his repentance prayer. He's saying, I'll go back to my father and I'll tell my father, I have sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. Please forgive me and make me as one of your hired servants. He says, I'm going to go. So he gets up out of the pig pen. He's dirty. And that's why I said, come to Jesus just as you are. Because he sees his son. And he's like, I think that's my daughter Karen. Man, oh, yeah, that's definitely her. She's got that head turned a little bit. Oh, yeah. It says he jumps off that porch and he takes off running. He goes and meets us where we're at in our sin. And the young man is saying, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven. He's trying to ask for repentance. When you ask for repentance in your heart, God knows it instantly. You're saved. Because when He knows your heart is doing a repentant prayer, He hears your prayer. And he saves you right then, right there. It's your choice to stay saved and stay sanctified. It's to follow the footprints of Jesus after your salvation. But it says the Father runs to him, throws his arms around him, he hugs him. I'm going to come hug on my brother. But it says he hugs on him. This young man's covered in pig slop. Here the Father is. He's the King. He's hugging on this nasty, stinking son. But that's just a picture of Jesus covering our filth instantly. He washes us clean with the blood of Jesus, white as snow. And praise God that I'm still thankful that Jesus still today is a friend of sinners. Are y'all not, church? Because it says not only did he hug him, he says put the best robe on him. That's making him royalty. All of y'all that are saved, y'all are royalty. Y'all have a kingdom. Y'all are ambassadors. Did you know if you pay attention to fire stations, them long ladder trucks, if you'll pay attention, they will only go 12 stories high. Because an ambassador, no matter where he stays in the world, will stay no higher than the 12th floor. Because all fire trucks will only go to the 12th floor. So you're ambassadors. No matter where you're at in this world, when you're walking, you walk the footprints of Jesus. And I want to close with a story. And the title of it is, Come Home. This young man was on this train back in the day, probably 40s or 50s, true story. And it says the pastor was sitting across from him. And he says, son, he says, I can tell something's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? He said, well, 15 years ago, I left my home mad. I slammed the door and I told my dad I would never come home. He said, I've got word that my dad's dying and he's sick. And he said, I told my dad by telegraph that this train runs right past our house and there's a big old tree out in the backyard. He said, I asked my dad to let mom put a handkerchief in that tree if they'll forgive me and let me come home. And the pastor says, well, I'll start praying. You start looking. And the young man, probably 3 hours into the journey, he says, Pastor, we're getting close to my family's home. So they both get up and they're looking in the window. And the pastor's got better eyes than the young man, apparently, because the young man is still looking. And the pastor starts hooping and hollering. And he says, look, boy, look. The tree was solid white. They had done took every handkerchief they had, every white sheet they had, anything that they could borrow white and tie it in that tree for that young man to know he was welcome to come home. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. Come home today. Because today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, but today. And that's what the gospel tells us. Let's get right with Jesus today. But the devil says, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, I need to get cleaned up. Maybe I've got this sin in my life. I have this addiction in my life. Maybe I'll go get in rehab and then I'll get right for Christ. Well, maybe I need to change my job. So, I can't get right with Christ working here. It says today is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus just as you are. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't go home and try to get clean. Come to Him right now in this church before we leave. If you're not right with Christ. Young gentlemen and women back there, young ladies, if you're not right with Christ, you got parents. Please ask them to share the gospel with you. The first gift that my wife wanted from me after she got sick and she was bedridden for a long time, it was her birthday. She said, will you read the Bible to me? And we did for years, faithfully. We don't do it as much as we used to. But that's what she wanted. She wanted me, as the man, the head of the house, to read her the Word of God. So, men, I know you read the Bible because you're speaking it without even looking at it. Young man, listen to us. There's a gentleman sitting right up here. I'm pointing at him, yes. I haven't fellowship with any of the other men, really. But I see a man of God that reads the Word of God, and he speaks the Word of God, and he speaks it unshamefully. If it offends you, don't get mad at him and don't get mad at me. We'll both give you time to get God's forgiveness. Because it's not us that makes us mad. And I said us. It's the Word of God that makes us mad. Because this Word of God is like a sword. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts going in, it cuts coming out. And that's what the Word does to us when we're in sin, because our sin will find us out. So if you're not right with Christ, please come to somebody in this church and say, hey, please help me understand Christ. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage the saints. We're here to train. We're not here just to listen to me as a preacher preach to you. We're here to be able to be ready at any moment, it says, to be in season or out of season, and be ready to preach the Word of God. It don't say just share the Word of God. What's the biggest sermon that you will ever preach in your life? If somebody sees you mess up and they don't see you get mad, they don't see you fuss and all that other stuff. They see you raise your hands, because the Bible tells us to raise holy hands as men and praise the Lord, even in our afflictions. What does it tell us to do? Rejoice. Rejoice always. So Good morning, dear Heavenly Father. I got just a few minutes left. So Lord, I want to come to you and just say thank you, Lord. We're here to worship you. We're here to be trained by your word. Because we as men and women, though, if it's our words, we'll lead somebody astray. But Lord, it's your word. Your word says we're like sheep. We're lost without a shepherd. And Father, we're like that lost coin. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit, the light of the illumination of that Holy Spirit to alight sin in our life. And sometimes we need to be like the woman that's sweeping. That sweeping is the conviction of the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin when we see sin coming. We ought to run from it, Lord. So help us today not be a prodigal son or a daughter. But Lord, let us return to you, our first love. And Lord, as we do, it says there's rejoicing in the heaven in the presence of Jesus. Because it said when Stephen was stoned, Stephen looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus himself is rejoicing over our salvation, not just the angels, but Jesus himself. So today, if you're not right with Christ, please make that decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ today. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Give us some music, maestro. And I didn't even really read my laptop. Today, if you need Jesus, we're here for you. I know this song, so I gotta hear it. Oh yeah. Today, come home to Jesus, because that's actually the title of your sermon, was Come Home to Jesus. Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till after we eat a good lunch. Come today, right now. Let's come home to Jesus. Thank y'all for letting me come close to my home and share the gospel, you know, because it tells us once we become a saved people in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, the legion that was saved by Jesus, he says, Jesus, let me go home with you. He says, no, son. He says, go to your home, to your family and your friends and tell them what great things I have done. Today, nobody came forward. Today, Mark chapter 5, verse 19, I want you all to look that up. I want you all to go home to somebody in your friends and your family and give them a testimony of what Jesus has done for y'all. Will you close this out and go ahead and bless the food?